Last year, our theme was, in quietness and rest, strength arises. Okay? In quietness and rest, strength arises. And that means you got to quiet down this. And you're just shh. And that's when you begin to hear things. Hear the whisper of the Lord, hear his heart. So quietness and rest is still a part of what we're doing. Okay? However, in the quietness and rest, the Lord is also starting to say, hey, because you're hanging out with me in quietness and rest, it's time to come along with me and arise and shine. Okay? So this is what he's actually doing, which is pulling us along with him into places and spaces where we're like, oh, no, I don't want to be up here at the front, Mom. Why are you doing this to me? Don't give me the microphone, Mom.
Hello.
Right? And we do that. We do that kicking and screaming with Jesus, right? This week at the Vineyard Retreat, they talked about being yoked and being yoked to Jesus and allowing him to do the thing that he does. See, I pulled her along. She didn't have to decide where we were going. I was deciding where we were going. And she just followed. That's it. And so as I do this, Mariah is actually leaning on where I'm going. I'm doing the work. She's not doing the work. I've got the microphone. She doesn't. But she just needs to stay really close to me. And this is what God is doing in Arise and Shine as I take her back to her seat and her husband. So this is what God is doing with us in Arise and Shine. However, there has seems to be something that has come over us, our nation, people, the season. And there's quite a few of you, even last Sunday, who confessed that you are in a season of despondency. What is that? It's where all hope is gone. The wind is taken out of your sails. It's like a depression. And it came about in our first Sunday. The first Sunday of the month here, we do a lot more worship and lean into worship and the presence of the Lord and let the body be the body to share their gifts and stuff like that. And we were doing communion as well, and in communion on that particular Sunday, I felt that I was supposed to read these two scriptures right here, which are not normal communion scriptures, but this is what I felt to do, and it was calling us into that new creation life like we're focusing on this morning that God is really pointing to. From here, I had an encounter with a 14-year-old in our congregation, who said to me he really loved the service. Now, it's rare for a boy to come up to you and say, hey, Tab, I really like the service. That's huge to get them to talk to begin with. All right? Then on top of that, when I say, well, what stood out to you? What was the thing that made it awesome for you? He says, how you did communion. And I said, well, what was it about communion? And he said, it's those two scriptures that you read. I have no problem, he says to me, remembering that Jesus died for me. But I forget that he rose again. And that his rising should mean something in my life. I don't know about you, but like, I got the Holy Spirit like all over me, just even saying it again, what he said. And it dawned on me that the Holy Spirit was speaking through this young man. Did you know that? And as I leaned in and I began to ponder what he said, I felt like God was giving me a key to all of the sad, a key to all of the weight, a key to all of the dry, a key to all of the I don't know what to do, a key to all of the I'm alone. A key to all of the fight, flight, freeze. A key. As I pondered that, more and more and more, I went, oh Lord, I think this is what you're asking us to camp in. For a while, we've forgotten who we are. We have forgotten that we are people of the resurrection and not just people of death. And so this is what we're camping in until I think we get it. Okay? And so we started by reading these. And then I took you to the story of Lazarus. And I felt like Lazarus was really, really important. How many of you camped in Lazarus and the virgins and in this? Did anybody camp in there through the week? No. How many of you thought about it? Oh, a couple of people back there. Yeah, high five for camping. What'd you get out of it? What stood out to you?
Well, you were very clear last week that we were supposed to camp in this. So I cut and pasted them and printed them off, and I put one in the one in the microwave, and one in the bathroom, and one at my bedside. So anyway, I just kept reading it, and the longing in my heart that came out was I wanted so desperately to know what my resurrected life should look like. If I'm resurrected with him and I've died to sin, what does that look like? How does that take me from the despair and the frustrations of life and the struggles? Because I want to be in that place really, really bad.
Yeah. And that there is what we call hunger. And that there is what we call thirst. Arising, and that's why it's important to be in the living Word and asking the Holy Spirit to move you and keep you where you got to be so your roots can go deep, because when you are dry is when the tree roots go deep and they go searching for the water and they don't stop until they get it. And that's how perseverance comes. And it's in these moments that strength will arise. We are averse in our society to pressing in. We are averse to struggle. We are averse to suffering. But it is this shedding that actually is needed, that only comes when we're in those places, right? And so this is the important thing. He says that he will feed the hungry and he will give drink, living water to the thirsty. But if you're not hungry, you won't eat. And if you're not thirsty, you won't drink. And so let him use your struggles and your frustrations and take that moment to camp on a thought and pitch a tent until you reawaken love in you again. Because something died in that space, is dying in that space, because it's lacking the presence of the one who gives life. You tracking? I know it's a refresher for some. Others, they're catching up right now. And so the story of Lazarus is a story for us. It was a sign in that generation, but it's still a sign today. And it is a sign to you and me that God is still in the business of resurrecting. Number one. Number two, that when you arise out of the grave, you shine. When we arise to the light of life, other people are drawn to our arising. People heard the news that Lazarus was alive. People ran to find out what had happened and to see him. And it stirs up the religious spirits like anything else. And, I'm going to tell you straight on. The kingdom of darkness does not like you arising and shining. And they are playing war for your soul. You can believe in Jesus, just keep him dead. You can believe in Jesus, leave him in the grave. You can believe in Jesus, don't you dare go after his power. Don't you let that power manifest in you. That's what the kingdom of darkness wants you to believe. And they will convince you that you are insignificant. And I'm telling you today, Jesus designed a job for your hands and ground for your feet to take. Things for your hands to do, your mouth to proclaim, and ground for your feet to take back. And all the while, drawing people to the light of the rising of the risen Lord in and through you. From there, we looked at the virgins, the 10 virgins, and how everybody fell asleep. But when they began to wake up, 5 of them had oil. I got oil in my lamp, keep it burning. And 5 of them did not. Their light was diminishing. Now, if you want to look at light and oil, by all means, go a million different places in Scripture because it's everywhere. But I encourage you to camp in the Song of Songs because oil and light are mentioned in there several times. And oil and light is the relational equity built between you and him in relational intimacy. And that oil and that light was meant to shine when it gets really, really dark. And other people will want the intimacy you have, but they're not willing to put in the work and the investment to get it. However, your intimacy with Christ is not to keep you in the secret place. Because when he calls, you're to get up, light the lamp, trim off the stuff that's burnt off, and now walk in the darkness with your light to the sound of his voice because the bridegroom is a-coming. And in fact, he's here. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, he's really coming in person, but he's here in presence. He is here. He's wherever you go. There is no place that you can go that you will escape him. No mountain is too high, whether that be your emotional state of being, your mind, corporate ladder, whatever authority you have. No mountain is too high where he's not there. Nothing's off limits to him. There is no depth that is too low. You can't get down far enough, even to the center of the earth or the depths of despair or anything where he isn't already waiting. There is no off-limit territory to him. And so it doesn't matter where you find yourself, if you will rather lean in rather than lean out, you will find him. Amelia, are you here? Come here. In youth, we're working through an identity series that has to do with who we are in Christ, okay? It's the same thing. That's what we're working on. And one of the questions that we asked the teams as they broke off was, do you feel like God is leaning in towards you or leaning out? And Amelia, do you remember what you said?
I think that it was like Jesus is always there and always wanting our attention, and it's us that's leaning in or out. So if we feel him in that moment, it's because we're leaning in. If we don't feel him, it's not because he's gone or he's left us. It's just because we are leaning out. We're the ones that are separating ourselves from him, and it's not the other way around.
Does that sound like wisdom to you? Right? Out of the mouths of babes. Thanks, Amelia. Okay. We're not going to get very much further. That brings us to where we are at this particular moment.
That is so amazing, Amelia, because when I was growing up as a teenager, I saw so many where, like, as soon as there was sin in my life, there was this giant gap between Jesus and me. And basically, I felt like God was, like, looking this way away from me until I repented. It's, like, scriptural, sure. But, like, for your generation to know and to know that just God is always for you and leaning towards you and wanting relationship. And, I just love it so much. So thank you. And thank you. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a real narrative. How many of us grew up like that, where we have a God who turns his back, but Jesus who opened his arms, right? And that's the new covenant, the New Testament proclamation, Emmanuel amongst us, who understands everything we go through. And that's the true narrative now. Do you follow? Arms wide open, a heart exposed as he leans in towards us and just wants to gather us. So, yeah, Julia, I love it that you guys are getting involved. Oh, there's love. I love it.
I just feel like the Lord wants me to speak this out, remind people, do not be poor in spirit. We are not called to be poor in spirit. We're not. We need to know who we are in Christ. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me yesterday about a situation I've been praying about for a long time. And I've been waiting. I've been waiting on the Lord about this. And my husband and I have been looking for a home. And I've been looking, like, it's my job to find the home. I've been looking everywhere. Every single listing I've been looking. And the Lord spoke to me yesterday and said, I want you to be confident in me, confident in my Holy Spirit. And I felt so convicted. So whatever that thing is, God has already gone before you. Don't be poor in your spirit. He calls you to arise, to trust him, as if we're blindfolded and we don't see anything. We're just called to walk. We're called to walk straight. And he's like, don't worry, I'm guiding you. I'm holding your hand. Be confident that God is going to do that thing that you've been praying about, and trust him. We sing about trusting him. That's what it's about, is trusting God. We're not going to fall. He's got us. He's so got us. And so I just pray that, Lord, that you would strengthen our spirits to truly know who you are, Lord, that you have walked that path, that there is nothing too low or too high. God, you are there. You have been there already. And so, God, we just trust you, and we are confident. We are not just waiting. We are not just waiting and weary, but we are confident in your spirit and what you have already done and what you are going to do. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Stay right here. Because I think this is the perfect image of trust. This is perfect trust. And Jesus wears us all. We are in him, and he is in us. Okay? So we didn't get to it today, but I was going to have us, when you are looking at the parable of the virgins, follow the wedding feast in there. Find out what it says about the wedding feast in scripture. And here's two scriptures, Matthew 22 and Luke 14. I want you to look at the wedding feast. Camp at the wedding feast, all right? Revisit these scriptures and camp at the wedding feast, and then we will go from there.